Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our Big Unlock podcast. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi, and I'm the managing partner here at Bigrio and Demo Consulting, and also the co-host of the podcast along with my colleague Rohit. And today we are really excited to have Dr. Amit Phul with us. He's the Chief Clinical Experience Officer at Doximity, and we are looking forward to a very interesting conversation. And with that, I'll hand it over to Rohit. And then after that, it's all yours, Dr. Phul. Thank you for joining us today, and a warm welcome to our listeners as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ritu. I'm Rohit Mahajan. I'm the co-host of the Big Unlock podcast and also the CEO at Bigrio and Demo Consulting. So looking forward, Amit, to an exciting interaction here. We'll touch upon a few topics of interest to you, and hopefully the audience will be interested as well. So over to you, Amit, for your intros. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, Ritu, Rohit. Thank you so much for having me on today. As you mentioned, my name is Amit. I'm Chief Clinical Experience Officer here at Doximity. I'm an emergency medicine physician. I hold an adjunct faculty position at Northwestern, where I trained in Chicago. And I'm a clinical assistant professor at George Washington University, where I live in the DC area. So very excited for the conversation today.
Great. So let's jump right into it. Tell us more about Doximity, and also, you know, the listeners always love an origin story. So tell us how you came into this intersection of healthcare and tech, and, you know, what drew you to that. And I always like admire when I talk to physicians such as yourself, because everybody thinks being a doctor is like such a tough job. And then we get like people like you who are doing like being a doctor and doing like a million other things. So it's really very inspiring and amazing to talk and see, you know, how you have the bandwidth to handle everything. So we would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Origin stories are always fun. I would say the Doximity origin story actually starts back in 2010. Doximity was founded in order to essentially rewire healthcare, was the initial mission statement. We wanted to develop the original team prior to my joining, wanted to develop a system that would permit physicians to be more productive so they could ultimately provide better healthcare. Our CEO and co-founder, Jeff Tangney, his prior company was Hippocrates, so he was familiar with the digital health space. And after Hippocrates having gone public itself, he moved on to found Doximity, which has grown tremendously in the interim. I would say my origin story in terms of intersecting with Doximity, I'm an emergency medicine physician in a prior life, it feels like. I was a computer engineer, and I have always been interested in the intersection between those two worlds. So when I was in residency, I kind of took the approach of just raising my hand for any opportunities that came my way that permitted me to get more exposure to that intersection between those two worlds. And I came to find out about a company called Doximity that at the time, 20 some odd people had just been founded, was beginning to have some traction in terms of some of the software they were developing for clinicians like myself. Doximity back then had a program called the Physician Advisory Panel, where they requested folks like myself to volunteer some time and beta test software. So I right up my alley, again, kind of existing in both of those spaces personally. I raised my hand, got invited in to participate in one of the advisory boards that are kind of the main event, if you will, of the Doximity calendar, where once a year we invite clinicians in to see what the team is working on and provide us direct feedback as to the products that we should develop. And I remember it was a long time ago, but early 2014, was having a conversation with Jeff, very intrigued by what I came to learn at that advisory board that Doximity was up to. And he ended the conversation by saying, yeah, we're interested in kind of clinicians or folks with clinical experience who might also have some strategy and tech experience. If you happen to know anyone that might be interested in a job on a team like ours, we're hiring. And I just had one of those moments where it's like, what did I say or not say about myself that doesn't make you think that I might be interested in this kind of role? So it was just serendipity that I wound up being in that room with the team and ultimately moved from Chicago to join Doximity shortly thereafter. So I'm now going on my 12th year here at Doximity, and it's been one hell of a ride.
Yeah, amazing story. I'm sure with all the AI coming in, it's like completely like you seeing like the amount of change that you can affect now versus the previous 12 years must be like, you know, at hyper speed. with all the AI that's happening.
Significant acceleration for sure. And the company, as well as the platform, has grown so much that now we can actually move the needle in very tangible ways, which is super exciting in terms of the feedback we receive from clinicians across the country.
Yeah, you must be really well positioned to do so because you've spent so many years building up the community and now you are in the perfect kind of launching pad to try out all these new initiatives with AI and see how that goes down.
I think one of the things that's been special in terms of the approach is building with clinician input from the beginning. It's something that we take very seriously. As I mentioned, I joined Doximity via one of these medical advisory boards. And we're prepping now for our 2026 medical advisory board, which is just coming in a few weeks here. But that relationship with users, where we actually bring them into the fold and ask them what we should build for them, I think is critical to our success. And as you said, Ritu, has kind of positioned us to enter this AI chapter, if you will, in a pretty unique position.
Yeah, we have conversations with people who are in the space all the time who are building with AI or without AI products for, you know, the healthcare space. But I think with Doximity, the conversation is kind of different because clinicians are your primary audience and your user base, if I would say so. So how does that in your approach or, you know, in your viewpoint, make it different for building for a community of clinicians versus going? Mostly we see the healthcare journeys being positioned more towards the patient experience and the patient, you know, like the digital front door and other things like that. But if you're building for clinicians, I would like to ask, like, what are the key metrics you use or, you know, what are the driving factors essentially that, you know, enable adoption or make you feel that this is something different you're building?
That's a great question. So I think as things progress, particularly as technology progresses, there is some tension that exists between empowering patients themselves to kind of manage and take the reins of their healthcare journey while still emphasizing and building for the critical role that clinicians play in providing healthcare to those patients. So from the clinician perspective, ease of use is paramount. I would add right next to ease of use, being able to trust the technology is paramount as well. Anytime you create software for a clinician, even if it's well-designed and well-intentioned, if they can't trust the output of that software, or God forbid, it adds time to their day, it's going to be very, very difficult to compel those clinicians to actually pick up that piece of software and leverage it. I would view EHRs as an interesting counterexample. If EHRs were deployed to the healthcare community, not as part of kind of a government rollout with mandates, I think there would have been an extreme increase in the amount of difficulty that it took all of us to adopt that sort of technology. And even still, it took many, many years for them to permeate the space. So once you can emphasize and demonstrate to clinicians that you are building with them front of mind and incorporating their feedback into the building process, to switch to metrics, recurrent use, increase of use, time savings for those clinicians, burnout rates are a good proxy that are often measured when actually speaking about the general health and welfare of the clinician workforce. Those are the types of metrics that we monitor on our end, particularly if we can do right by our clinician user. They're more likely to come back and use our software again, even more so if it saves them time in their clinical day. So one of the awesome parts of my job, frankly, is I'm on the business end of all of the feedback that we receive from clinicians when they're using our tools. And we get all sorts of lovely anecdotes where just by being able to go home for that additional hour, you have doctors who now can have dinner with their families or be a little bit more human outside of the practice of medicine. So it's those kinds of things, both metric wise, as well as kind of the softer elements of the feedback that we receive that we pay particular attention to.
Great. Thank you. That's a good answer. Yeah. Rohit, you want to ask a question?
Yeah, Amit, I was thinking about innovation and, you know, same kind of a thing, like how do you pivot into what's coming next? And, you know, ChatGPT kind of has leveled the and democratized the field for everyone to use AI. So how are you thinking about infusing such technologies into the platform? And could you give us some examples of some things that are coming in the future?
Yeah, for sure. So One of the things, going back to, I think, the critical components of building for clinicians, ChatGPT is a great example in terms of really introducing a perceived to be new technology into the public consciousness at scale. Those in the space know that kind of AI technology has actually been worked on for quite some time now. It's been a number of decades where this has been kind of built in a lab. But when you just blow open the doors, as it were, to everyone being exposed to the potential power of this technology, harnessing such a technology in the healthcare space goes back to some of those core components. Trust, when we actually ask our medical advisory board, how can we leverage something as exciting as artificial intelligence in the healthcare space? Things like HIPAA compliance, very rigorous patient and provider data security, et cetera. Those are table stakes. And then going back again to the ease of use and actually leveraging clinician input in your build process, we think are critical as well. When we asked our medical advisors, as we began to develop Doximity GPT, our AI solution for clinicians, what were the most important features to them beyond kind of just the overarching umbrella of HIPAA compliance and data security, we would see requests like, can you pull through citations so I know that the output of this reference tool, as an example, is coming from somewhere in the science or the medical literature. If we are able to bring a human element to it, is some of the more recent feedback that we have received and we are building into or leaning into as a company. We have an offering called PeerCheck, which is a human layer of review, if you will, or peer review of Gen AI output. So a clinician like myself can not only quickly access the most up-to-date guideline information or get an answer to a complex clinical scenario, but actually rest assured that other clinical folks have actually reviewed that output and vetted it in terms of its accuracy and applicability to medicine. We really, really do believe that that trust element is critical to bringing technologies like AI into the healthcare space while maintaining the importance of the role of clinicians. If clinicians and through clinicians, their patients cannot trust this technology, the feedback we receive is it's going to be another example of healthcare kind of falling behind, where there are technological advancements in other industries that have permitted other industries to flourish in ways that healthcare has taken a little bit longer to get around to. Folks like myself don't want to miss this train. We want to actually build it in such a way that clinicians can pick it up, trust it, more easily use it, kind of integrated into their workflows and processes in ways that will, again, going back to the core mission of Doximity, enhance their ability to practice medicine and through that enhancement, ideally improve patient care.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I wanted to add on a question here, Amit. You are a faculty also, you mentioned, at a university setting. So talk to us a little bit about that. What are some of the questions the students are asking? What is their top of the mind and what are they hoping to learn about the new things and things like that?
Yeah, for sure. So it's interesting, at the early stages of training, particularly in kind of this academic environment, I will admit that some of this technology has kind of a double-edged sword nature to it. We want to empower young clinicians to leverage technology to grow into being the most productive and effective clinicians that they might be capable of being. But it is also important that they actually learn medicine. So the ability to leverage technologies like this to kind of skip a step, if you will, in terms of quickly getting answers without having to engage kind of those critical thinking muscles, it's a balance on the academic side of things that we take very seriously. At Doximity, as an example, when we got clinician input on how best to deploy our AI tools, we got the very strong input that it's very important that clinicians still develop and maintain a quote-unquote spidey sense. We do not want to reduce clinicians to being messenger pigeons in terms of looking up information and then kind of handing that off to their patients and in regards to advancing their care. We want to actually build solutions with clinicians that actually augment that spidey sense and the maintenance of that spidey sense so that they can become better clinicians themselves. So in the university setting, what we often do is we permit utilization of various tools, amongst them Doximity GPT as an example, but we demand that clinicians can actually, in real time and often live on the wards, justify their thinking. Medicine cannot be reduced to kind of a book report where you can consume some information and then regurgitate it. You actually have to demonstrate an understanding of the validity and the context within which that information can be deployed so as to advance patient care. So it's an exciting time, but I do feel that as a collective, folks like myself and folks who are certainly involved in the training of others, of future generations of clinicians, are proceeding with caution. We're excited, but we want to make sure that we don't move so quickly that we actually inadvertently prevent some of these clinicians in training from learning the actual kind of the hard facts and hard work, frankly, that it takes to be a clinical provider.
Yeah, great answer. I think we see the headlines every single day, and we've been talking about Gen AI for like 2 years now, and we've really seen the leaps that have, you know, happened just in the last 2 years. And now in the last 2 months, actually, now we're, you know, seeing headlines that OpenAI is making its forays into healthcare because they're seeing so many health-related queries come in. And then Utah became the first state yesterday to allow AI to do, like, you know, automated prescription renewals for the first time. So it's moving really fast. So I just want to get back to your, you know, what you told us about your HIPAA compliant tools like DocsGPT and the peer review innovations. So now what we're seeing is, like, within the last 3 months is a shift towards, you know, voice agents and agentic AI. And so far, we've always, a cornerstone of the responsible AI has been, oh, you keep the human in the loop, you know, you do these peer reviews, you make sure that people who are even relaying this generated information, like you said, have the spidey sense to back it up, or, you know, that they've done their own homework, or they know that what's being presented is correct. But with the move towards agentic and the autonomous systems, now people are saying that even that last bastion is going to fall and the human inputs are going to get eliminated. So would love to hear your thoughts on that. And where do you think it's headed maybe in the next 6 to 9 months or 1 year?
Wow. So 6 to 9 months or 1 year in AI time, it's often very difficult to predict. I maintain personally, and I think as an extension or representative of Doximity, we maintain as an organization the importance and significance of humanity in Absolutely. Medicine. The clinical providers, the individual humans that comprise our healthcare workforce should be empowered by this technology as opposed to potentially replaced by such technology. And it's interesting, from my seat, what I see is a lot of what I would refer to as kind of bimodal thinking. On one end, you have kind of the more optimistic folks who can immediately envision 100 years of advancement in 3 weeks, and all of a sudden everyone has personalized medicine deployed at scale. I would love to get there, but as we all know, healthcare is complicated. It'll take some time. I think on the other end of the spectrum, you have catastrophic thinking, where the robots are coming for all of us. And if you look at kind of radiology articles and literature for quite some time, they have been fear-mongering AI in terms of its entry into the healthcare space. As these things often go, I think the actual reality today and the short-term, most likely future reality is going to be in the middle, i.e., like the extent to which we can leverage this type of technology in order to make physicians and other clinicians kind of more efficient, more effective, less burnt out, to provide greater access to care, so on and so forth. Those are the types of wins, if you will, that I think will permit clinicians to leverage this technology excitedly and also steer it in the directions that will be most impactful for the broader healthcare system. As an example, which is not necessarily an AI specific example, but I would reference even our own success in terms of providing free telehealth tools to free clinics. So we have now extended that provision of access to our enterprise grade software to include our AI product suite as well. But at the front lines, if you will, of providing indigent care or access to care to underserved populations, we see a lot of folks who are well-intentioned, but do not have the budget to afford this sort of technology. If you empower them with telehealth solutions or an AI solution that helps them reduce their administrative burden, as an example, it's less about humans being removed from providing care. It's actually an example of humans being augmented in such a way that they can dramatically increase the provision of care. So when I think about agentic AI workflows, what I think we should be able to strive for collectively in medicine is to appropriately deploy that particular type of AI utilization to remove some of the current work that is involved in providing healthcare that would be perceived by both providers and patients alike to be burdensome. There is an outcome you could see in the short term, and our bet is in even the longer term, where in a very paradoxical way, the robots, if you will, actually reintroduce humanity to the practice of medicine. So a lot of the feedback I receive in my clinical career, and then it kind of overlaps with some of the feedback that I receive in my role at Doximity, is some variation of, I didn't go to medical school to dot, dot, dot. And depending upon whom you're asking and when you're asking them, it's either be a data entry clerk if they're overburdened by administration and documentation demands, or I didn't go to medical school to be a biller. If you have some folks who practice in environments where that's a task that they've had to take on, et cetera. I view the optimistic bent of the implications of this technology as being able to remove some of that kind of work from the practice of medicine and really open up the opportunity for folks like myself to re-engage at that human level. So I'd mentioned kind of anecdotal feedback. Some of my favorites include things like, I don't have to go in and log into a device when I enter a patient's room. I can shake their hand, look them straight in the eye, put my hands on my patient, and more efficiently engage with them and advance their care while the documentation, the coding, et cetera, all of that stuff is taken care of. So if we can continue to maintain this human in the loop approach, my suspicion, corroborated by the last couple of years of experience now doing this, is that those humans will actually steer this technology in that direction. Folks who go into healthcare go into healthcare because they want to help other people. And technology should enhance their ability to do that, as opposed to being viewed as some kind of competitor in the space. So we maintain that direction and sort of overall heading as a company. And by virtue of including at this stage now at the Peer Check Initiative, thousands of physicians have participated already in terms of kind of reviewing even the output and functionality of our AI toolkit. We think by bringing them into the loop, we can help bolster this momentum in the positive direction and ideally kind of steer away from that catastrophic endpoint where there are no humans involved in providing healthcare to other humans. That's not what we're doing this for.
Yeah, great answer. I loved hearing, you know, your overall, the tone and the optimism in there. And just reminded me of a story I heard last year at one of these healthcare conferences where there was a physician on stage and he was like, when my father was a physician, it was just him and the patient in the room. And he would see the patient and, like you said, you know, actually put the hands on the patient and there was no screen in between. And then for his whole lifetime, he said, I've been doing medicine like that with a screen in between. And now, you know, it's come full circle and now the screen's gone away again, and because of ambient and, you know, the other technological advances. So I think that's a great story. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, absolutely. That. I will often ask folks when we chat with clinicians and patients alike, I'll ask them show of hands how many people have had the experience of either having to walk into a room and logging into a terminal before you address your patient, or from the patient side where you're clinician comes in and walks right past you and logs in because their front of mind task is, oh, I have to document. And almost always we do 100% of people in rooms will raise their hand as having had that experience. And I can say personally, and just by extension, in terms of the number of clinicians that we represent at Doximity and that I interact with personally on a day-to-day basis, nobody went into medicine for that. So yeah, I totally relate to your dad's experience as well, where those who have kind of been through that full circle, like myself, genuinely appreciate the fact that technology can now be leveraged by clinicians as opposed to imposed upon them.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we are getting to the closing of the podcast. So Amit, any other thoughts you would like to share with the audience before we close?
Yeah, I would say the main takeaways from our perspective, as we've discussed, I mean, we are in a very interesting time, broadly speaking, but certainly in terms of how much of this technology can be developed and deployed in a healthcare context. For those in your audience that are clinicians, I urge them to try out some of our AI tools. We are constantly looking to improve. My name's Amit. I'm amit@doximity.com. Please connect with me directly in terms of any feedback that you might have. Again, we take involving clinicians in our development and deployment of tools very, very seriously. It's core to our DNA. And for those in the audience who are not clinicians, but interface with clinicians, your role is important too, maintaining that human centeredness or the humanity focus of how we provide healthcare in the US and beyond. We think is critical for healthcare to continue to be such an attractive career path to some of our best and brightest, and frankly, where we all go for solace and aid when we're struggling with some of life's trials and tribulations. So as much as there is the potential for kind of that catastrophic thinking to take over in today's age, we maintain a genuine optimism. We think our process over the last 15 years from the Doximity experience of asking first and building into the pain points of the system has driven our success. And we continue to lean in with initiatives like PeerCheck to augment Doximity GPT, as well as what I'm sure will be a dramatic rate of change and advancement that's going to come down the pipe in the next couple of years. So yeah, thank you for those who are listening, and particularly for the clinicians in the audience, looking forward to engage with you so we can build better solutions for you and your patients.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. Thank you for being our guest today and for all your insights. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.